an unspeakable tragedy up in Connecticut. Our nation has been asking a lot of questions for the past few days. One of the questions that I have heard repeatedly over the past few days is, where was God? Where was God, right? And it seems like every time an event like this happens in our culture, that people are asking that question, and the pundits on TV are asking that question over and over again and bringing on people to answer that question, where was God? And I got to be honest with you, church, whenever I hear that question, immediately I have two responses. First of all, when I hear that question asked, where was God in the midst of tragedy, first of all, I find it a bit ironic that we live in a nation where we have told the gospel preaching church to stay out of our schools, stay out of our government, stay out of our way, stay out of our lives, and then we indict God when unchecked sin and rebellion and depravity runs its course. So essentially we tell God, be quiet and go away, and then when tragedy strikes, we ask, where are you? We want it both ways, which speaks to our arrogance as a society and our own sin. The second response I have when I hear somebody ask that question, where was God in the midst of tragedy like this, I find it incredibly sad because it's proof that we don't truly understand who God is. And let me explain what I mean by that, Emmaus. If you read this book, like just an honest reading of this book, you don't have to have a pastor preach it. I mean, you just take this book, you just do a reading of it. After reading this book, you will not be able to make the case that somehow God is a God who turns a blind eye and a deaf ear towards suffering. You won't. At all. We do not worship a God who is somehow apathetic towards suffering, but instead we worship a God who is so familiar with our suffering. I mean, church, here's what you got to understand. If anybody's familiar with our suffering, it's God. It's God. And Emmaus, this is the true meaning of Christmas. Get this. The true meaning of Christmas is that God could have ignored our suffering because we brought it on ourselves through our sin and rebellion. He could have completely ignored it, but instead, God enters into our suffering on a mission to crush sin and to crush the devil and to crush death. That's the radical message of Christmas, Emmaus. Okay, so here's the message I want to share with you today. This Christmas, we do not worship a God who turns a blind eye towards tragic events like the one that happened on Friday. That is not the God we worship. We worship a God who, according to the gospel, knows what it's like to watch a son suffer. And he knows what it's like to watch a son bleed. And he knows what it's like to watch a son die innocently because of the sinful rebellion of someone else. He is familiar with our grief. And he is familiar with our suffering. And I want to read this to you as we enter into a time of communion. Isaiah 53. Here's who Jesus is. Born in a stable, into poverty. And we're told a little bit about his life in Isaiah 53, and here's what it says. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and as one from whom men hide their faces, he was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted, because he was wounded for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth, like a lamb that is led to the slaughter, and like a sheep that before its shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth. By oppression and judgment he was taken away. And as for this generation who considered that he was cut off out of the land of the living, stricken for the transgression of my people, and they made his grave with the wicked and with a rich man in his death, although he had done no violence and there was no deceit in his mouth, yet it was the will of the Lord to crush him. He has put him to grief. When his soul makes an offering for guilt, he shall see the offspring. He shall prolong his days. The will of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. Out of the anguish of his soul, he shall see and be satisfied. By his knowledge shall the righteous one, my servant, make many to be accounted righteous, and he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore, I will divide him a portion with the many, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he poured out his soul to death and was numbered with the transgressors, yet he bore the sin of many and makes intercession for the transgressors. That's Jesus. That's the Son of the Living God. The suffering servant who poured out his life and poured out his blood on our behalf so that we might be forgiven of sin. So that the unrighteous might be counted as righteous, all because of Jesus. And those of us who worship him, and those of us who adore him, and those of us who bow the knee to him, and those of us who look at something like this, and it's far more than just a symbol and a cute little kid's thing, but it is really the event in history that has shaped our entire life. Those of us who call ourselves followers of Jesus and name the name of Jesus, according to Revelation chapter 21, here's what we have to look forward to. Keep this in mind in light of the events of this week. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth, this right here, had passed away. Amen. And the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people. And God himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more." Amen. Amen. "Nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away." Yes. Amen. Merry Christmas, Happy New Year, praise the Lord, but in all the insanity of Christmas, don't forget, this changes everything. Let's pray. And as we pray, I want to invite you here at Emmaus. Our desire is, as we worship the Lord, our desire is to respond every Sunday with a time where we come to participate in the Lord's Supper, as the scriptures call it, the communion. We come to the table. Those of us who are worshipers of Jesus, if you're not a worshiper of Jesus, if you've never confessed your sin and the fact that you need Jesus, and he's the Savior, and he is the Son of God, and he is the one who died on the cross to atone for your sins. If you're not a worshiper of Jesus, we're so glad you're here. But just so you know, this table is not for you. It's only for those who call themselves Christians, worshipers of Jesus. And if you are, you come freely to this table. You take the bread, which Jesus says represents his body, which was nailed for us to a cross, and you dip it in the cup representing his blood, which was shed for us on the cross, and you take it and you eat it, and you remember the greatest gift you've ever received. No matter what Christmas gifts you've gotten, the greatest gift you've ever received is the gift of a relationship with a holy God that cost Jesus Christ, his Son, everything. And so during this song, you come freely, you pray to the Lord and you come as the Spirit so leads. If you're not a Christian today, you're not a follower of Jesus today, here's what I would beg you as a pastor that you may even not know. Become a Christian today. I beg you. Confess the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior today. I beg you. Understand that there is a God. He created you. Psalm 139 says, He knit you together in your mother's womb and you are fearfully and wonderfully made in His image. Confess that there is a God who loves you. His Son is Jesus Christ. And the measure of God's love for you is He allowed His one and only Son, Jesus, to be butchered on a cross for you 2,000 years ago that you might be forgiven. Surrender your heart to Him today. And if you do, you check that box on your Connect card saying you're surrendering to Jesus. We'll follow up, we'll help you, teach you, do everything we can to support you. Lord Jesus, thank you for the simple, powerful truth of the gospel. That we are more sinful than we ever realized. And at the same time, we are more loved than we could ever dare to hope. The proof of that love is found in Jesus Christ. Life, death, and resurrection. Lord, we love you. We worship you right now. We come to this table and we give thanks. We give thanks that, Lord, there is no righteousness we have in ourselves. There is no peace with God we can attain because of any good works. The only hope we have is in Jesus. So we gladly confess the name of Jesus. We love you, Lord. We pray it all through Christ. Amen.